Recent studies have challenged core stress concepts taught in graduate classes. We cannot turn off our physiological reactions to stressors like a light switch. Furthermore, we shouldn't attempt to do so, as arousal can improve our performance. Kelly McGonigal compellingly presents evidence that major life changes will not shorten life expectancy if we reinterpret our activation as bravely facing challenges. In addition, our prosocial actions can protect us from the harmful effects of major life changes. Dr. Ina Kazan persuasively argues that a mindfulness approach to stress can enhance our cardiovascular and neuroendocrine responses to stressors. Click on our narrator icon to listen to this post. Challenges to homeostasis. Claude Bernard, Walter Cannon, and Hans Selye were influential scientists who contributed significantly to the development and understanding of the concept of homeostasis, which refers to the ability of living organisms to maintain internal stability and balance in the face of changing external conditions. Claude Bernard, 1813-1878, was one of the first scientists to recognize the importance of maintaining a stable internal environment for the proper functioning of the body's cells and organs. He introduced the concept of the milieu intérieur, internal environment, and argued that the role of physiological processes is to maintain a constant internal environment, which is necessary for life. Bernard's work laid the foundation for the concept of homeostasis and emphasized the importance of the body's ability to regulate its internal conditions. Walter Bradford Cannon, 1871-1945, built upon Bernard's work and coined the term homeostasis to describe the dynamic equilibrium that living organisms maintain to ensure their survival. He identified several key physiological mechanisms responsible for maintaining homeostasis, such as the regulation of body temperature, blood sugar levels, and pH. Cannon also introduced the fight or flight response, which refers to the body's acute stress response and the physiological changes that occur to prepare an organism for action in the face of a threat. Janosch Hugo Bruno Hans Selye, 1907-1982, is best known for his research on stress and its effects on the body. He developed the concept of the General Adaptation Syndrome, GAS, which describes the body's three-stage response to stress, alarm, resistance, and exhaustion. Selye's work contributed to our understanding of how the body strives to maintain homeostasis in the face of stressors and how chronic stress can lead to maladaptive responses, negatively affecting overall health. Together, the work of Claude Bernard, Walter Cannon, and Hans Selye has helped shape our understanding of homeostasis as a fundamental principle governing the function of living organisms. Their research has provided valuable insights into the complex regulatory systems that enable organisms to adapt and respond to their environments, ensuring their survival and well-being. We will discuss powerful challenges to homeostasis, including cataclysmic events, early life stress/adversity, and childhood trauma. Cataclysmic events. Lazarus and Cohen, 1977, described cataclysmic events as sudden, unique, and powerful single-life events requiring major adaptive responses from population groups sharing the experience. Intentional and unintentional, these events can impact local communities, e.g., mass shootings, geographic regions, e.g., earthquakes, fires, hurricanes, and tsunamis, and the entire planet, e.g., the COVID-19 pandemic. These catastrophes can produce death, dislocation, fear, grief, trauma, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Many factors influence survivor response to these powerful stressful events, including perceived discrimination, resources, support, vulnerability to future harm, distance from the devastation, and media coverage. The stressfulness of an event is influenced by geographic proximity, its recency, and whether it was intended. Intentional events are more traumatic than natural disasters because the perpetrators targeted the victims and could do so again. Traumatic stress and post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Traumatic stress is produced by a highly intense stressor that disrupts coping and endangers ourselves or others. Post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, is a severe and long-lasting trauma and stressor-related disorder that often develops within 3 months of a traumatic event. DSM-5 divides its symptoms into four clusters: intrusion, avoidance, negative alterations in cognition and mood, and alterations in arousal and reactivity. The exposure can also be secondhand, such as witnessing domestic violence or learning about a family tragedy. The lifetime prevalence of adult PTSD in the United States is about 6.8%. While the earliest model of PTSD focused on trauma during combat, subsequent research has shown that crime, domestic violence, natural disasters, sexual assault, and terrorism can precipitate PTSD symptoms. Since women are more likely than men to experience these stressful events, it should not be surprising that they are more often diagnosed with this disorder. Children and adolescent victims and witnesses of violence also share an elevated risk of PTSD. A single traumatic event can reshape synapses and increase electrical activity in the amygdala 10 days later. The N-methyldiaspartate receptor, NMDAR, protein, which plays a central role in long-term memory, mediates these changes. Early life stress/adversity, ELA. Burney and colleagues reported that early life stress could disrupt reward circuitry, resulting in anhedonia or loss of pleasure and motivation. They discovered a corticotropin-releasing hormone, CRH, / gamma-aminobutyric acid, GABA, pathway from the basolateral amygdala to the nucleus accumbens in mice. Adverse experiences overactivated this pathway, disrupting reward-seeking behaviors. Silencing this pathway restored reward behaviors. In humans, the amygdala's central nucleus activates the hypothalamus paraventricular nucleus, PVN, increasing CRH release to the pituitary gland in response to stressful stimuli. Chronic, elevated CRH levels in the bloodstream may enhance learning classically conditioned fear responses, heighten arousal and attention to increase readiness to respond to a stressor, intensify the startle response, and reduce appetite and body weight, sexual behavior, and growth. Childhood trauma and PTSD. The overall one-year prevalence of childhood trauma is around 14%. This number is likely an underestimation. Intentional acts may produce more widespread distress than natural disasters because they threaten future and more devastating attacks. The impact of a catastrophic event depends on your distance from the event, the time interval since the event, and the perpetrator's perceived intentions. PTSD can permanently damage the systems that regulate our stress response, particularly the amygdala and hypothalamic pituitary adrenal, HPA, axis. Patients experience increased cortisol level fluctuation and persistent epinephrine, norepinephrine, testosterone, and thyroxine elevation. PTSD may promote medical illness through persistent immunosuppression. Military veterans diagnosed with PTSD are more likely to develop severe diseases following discharge than veterans without PTSD. PTSD may also exacerbate pre-existing health problems. PTSD resulting from the September 11, 2001, World Trade Center attacks may have helped worsen asthmatic symptoms in New York residents. Stress and anxiety. Studies have shown that stress and anxiety share common neural circuits, particularly involving the basolateral amygdala, BLA, and the locus coeruleus, LC. Acute stress can induce anxiety through norepinephrine inputs from the LC to the BLA. Additionally, mitochondrial function within the nucleus accumbens, NAC, has been implicated in individual trait anxiety and the stress-anxiety link, Davieux et al., 2019. The physiological impact of chronic stress. Researchers have studied the deleterious effects of chronic stress on the microbiome and immune system. Consistent with Hahn-Selye's general adaptation syndrome, chronic stress can produce allostatic load and exhaustion, resulting in depletion and death. Allostasis is a concept that complements homeostasis, describing the adaptive processes the body uses to maintain stability or balance during times of stress or change. While homeostasis refers to maintaining relatively constant internal conditions, allostasis focuses on the body's ability to adapt and adjust to various stressors to maintain overall stability. In the context of Hanselier-S general adaptation syndrome, GAS, elastasis plays a crucial role in the body's response to stress. GAS describes the body's three-stage response to stress: alarm, resistance, and exhaustion. Alarm stage, this is the initial response to a stressor, where the body activates the fight or flight response, which Walter Cannon described. This involves the release of stress hormones such as adrenaline and cortisol, leading to increased heart rate, blood pressure, and other physiological changes that prepare the body to react to the threat. Elasticity is at work during this stage as the body adapts to the new stressor and deviates from its normal balance to deal with the immediate challenge. Resistance stage. If the stressor persists, the body enters the resistance stage, attempting to adapt to the ongoing stress and maintain a new level of stability. Elasticity continues to play a role as the body adjusts its physiological processes to manage the stressor. This may include the continued release of stress hormones, adjustments in immune function, and alterations in metabolism. Exhaustion stage. If the stressor continues for an extended period, the body's adaptive resources may become depleted, leading to the exhaustion stage. Elasticity may no longer be effective at this point, as the body's ability to adapt to the stressor is overwhelmed. This can result in a breakdown of physiological systems and an increased risk of illness and disease. Elasticity highlights the dynamic nature of the body's response to stress and underscores the importance of adaptability in maintaining stability. However, prolonged or chronic stress can lead to allostatic load, which describes the cumulative wear and tear on the body due to repeated or excessive adaptation to stressors. This can negatively affect overall health, increasing the risk of various physical and mental health conditions. Stress and the microbiome. The human body primarily comprises single-celled organisms, which outnumber our human cells 1.3 to 1. Viruses vastly outnumber bacteria and could sharply increase the microbe-to-human cell ratio. The microbiome is a collection of microorganisms, including bacteria, viruses, fungi, and other microscopic organisms that live in and on our bodies. Most human bacteria are located in our gut. Research using rodents suggests that the 40 trillion bacteria in our microbiome may influence brain development, neurotransmitter synthesis, emotions, pain thresholds, and response to stressors. In rodents, shifts in the microbiome's ecology can produce more exploratory or cautious behavior. The relationship between the brain and gut biome appears to be bidirectional. While the brain and gut microbiome probably communicate using several pathways, the 100 million enteric system neurons that regulate the GI tract may be a crucial nexus. Mild stress can reduce the number of beneficial bacteria. Chronic stress can significantly impact the human microbiome. The gut microbiome, in particular, plays a crucial role in many aspects of our health, including digestion, immune function, and even mental health. Chronic stress can affect the human microbiome in several ways. Altered composition. Chronic stress has been shown to cause alterations in the composition of the gut microbiota, leading to imbalances between beneficial and potentially harmful microorganisms. This dysbiosis can disrupt the normal functioning of the gut microbiome and contribute to various health issues, including inflammatory bowel diseases, obesity, and immune dysregulation. Increased permeability. Chronic stress can lead to increased gut permeability, often called leaky gut. This occurs when the tight junctions between the cells lining the gut weaken, allowing bacteria, toxins, and undigested food particles to pass into the bloodstream. This increased permeability can lead to inflammation and exacerbate immune-related conditions. Weakened immune function. A significant proportion of the immune system is located in the gut, and the gut microbiome plays a vital role in modulating immune responses. Chronic stress can impair immune function, making it harder for the body to control potentially harmful microorganisms and increasing the risk of infection and inflammation. Impact on mental health. The gut microbiome communicates with the brain through the gut-brain axis, a complex network involving the nervous system, hormones, and immune signaling. Chronic stress can disrupt this communication, contributing to anxiety, depression, and other mental health disorders. Conversely, alterations in the gut microbiome can also influence stress responses, creating a bidirectional relationship between stress and the gut microbiome. Disorders like anxiety and depression may be associated with abnormal microbiota. Lifestyle factors: chronic stress can lead to unhealthy lifestyle choices, such as poor diet, lack of exercise, and insufficient sleep, which can negatively impact the gut microbiome. For example, a diet high in processed foods and low in fiber can lead to a less diverse gut microbiota, which has been associated with various health problems. In summary, chronic stress can significantly affect the human microbiome, particularly in the gut, leading to imbalances in microbial composition, increased gut permeability, weakened immune function, and impacts on mental health. Maintaining a healthy microbiome through a balanced diet, regular exercise, and stress management techniques can help promote overall health and well-being. Stress and the immune system. Although brief stress does not suppress immunity and may strengthen it, chronic stress can reduce immunocompetence. Klopak and colleagues reported an archival study involving responses from over 5,700 U.S. adults 50 and older about stress from discrimination, their jobs, life events, and traumatic experiences. They cross-referenced responses with immune cell counts from their blood. Higher stress levels were associated with accelerated immune aging, as measured by CD4+ and CD8+ cells. T lymphocytes, T cells, are white blood cells and crucial components of the immune system. CD4+ and CD8+ T cells play essential roles in adaptive immunity, which is a highly specific and long-lasting defense against pathogens and foreign substances. Also known as helper T cells, CD4+ T cells primarily assist in the immune response by coordinating and regulating the activities of other immune cells. They are crucial for activating and directing B cells to produce antibodies, stimulating cytotoxic T cells to kill infected cells, and recruiting other immune cells, like macrophages and neutrophils, to the site of infection. Also known as cytotoxic T cells or killer T cells, CD8+ T cells are responsible for directly killing infected or abnormal cells, such as virus-infected cells or cancer cells. The brain-mediated stressor effects on health. Neuroimaging studies have identified neural systems involved in threat processing, safety processing, and social cognition as key contributors to stress-related physiological changes. Threat processing. The neural systems involved in threat processing include the amygdala, dorsal anterior cingulate cortex, DACC, and anterior insula, AI. These regions function as part of a neural alarm system that detects potential threats and coordinates responses. The amygdala responds to salient and relevant stimuli to the perceiver's goals and motivations, particularly those related to fear and threat. It is connected to the sympathetic nervous system, SNS, and the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal, HPA, axis. The DACC is associated with distress and cognitive control during threat or pain, and the AI is linked to interoceptive awareness, reflecting the conscious representation of the body's physiological state. Safety processing. The neural systems involved in safety processing prominently feature the ventromedial prefrontal cortex, VMPFC. The VMPFC plays a critical role in signaling safety and inhibiting threat-related responses. It is active during situations like fear extinction when a previously feared stimulus is associated with safety. The VMPFC's inhibitory connections to the amygdala may decrease threat perception and reduce physiological stress responses. Additionally, studies indicate that individuals experiencing low stress or pain conditions show increased VMPFC activity, suggesting its involvement in reducing stress and enhancing perceptions of safety. Social cognition. Neural systems involved in social cognition include the medial prefrontal cortex, MPFC, perigenual anterior cingulate cortex, PACC, dorsomedial prefrontal cortex, DMPFC, and posterior cingulate cortex, PCC. These regions are associated with processing thoughts, feelings, and traits related to oneself and others. The MPFC, PACC, and PCC are activated when individuals reflect on their own traits or emotions, while the MPFC and DMPFC are particularly engaged in understanding others' mental states. These areas connect to regions like the amygdala and hypothalamus, which are important for generating sympathetic nervous system, SNS, and hypothalamic pituitary adrenal, HPA, axis responses. Stress and functional connectivity. Mental stress significantly reduced functional connectivity within the prefrontal cortex, PFC, particularly in the dorsolateral PFC, DLPFC. This reduction is observed in both inter- and intrahemispheric regions and involves synchronized electrical, e.g. alpha rhythms, and hemodynamic, FNIRS oxygenated and deoxygenated hemoglobin, responses. The right DLPFC was identified as the most stress-sensitive region, showing significant connectivity disruptions under stress. The ventrolateral and frontopolar areas also exhibited reduced connectivity but to a lesser extent. Physiological versus psychosocial stress. Recent meta-analyses have highlighted the differential neural engagement during physiological and psychosocial stress. Both types of stress activate the inferior frontal gyrus, IFG, and the anterior insula, AI, indicating a global neural stress reaction. However, physiological stress tends to activate regions associated with pain processing, such as the insula and striatum, e.g., caudate nucleus and putamen. In contrast, psychosocial stress activates the right superior temporal gyrus and deactivates the striatum, particularly the ventral striatum involved in reward processing. This differentiation underscores the importance of considering the type of stressor when studying neural responses to stress. Positive perspectives on stress. Although challenge is an inescapable and often energizing part of living, stress does not have to produce illness and premature death. In this section, we will discuss the effect of reframing the stress response as courage, the protective effects of prosocial behavior, hardiness, and the benefits of a mindfulness perspective. Reframe the stress response as courage. Cannon studied voodoo deaths in shamanistic cultures and published speculation about how beliefs can produce lethal cascades of system failure in the American Anthropologist. Keller et al. Conducted a regression analysis of the 1998 National Health Interview Survey and prospective National Death Index data from 28,753 adults. Both elevated levels of reported stress and the perception that stress negatively impacted health independently and jointly predicted poor physical and psychological health outcomes. While neither variable independently predicted premature death, those who reported high levels of stress and the perception that stress impacts health experienced a 43% greater risk of early death. Check out Kelly McGonigal's TED Talk How to Make Stress Your Friend. McGonigal proposes that we train clients to reframe sympathetic activation as evidence of our courage to rise to a challenge instead of the body injuring itself. Prosocial behavior buffers stress effects. A prospective study of 846 adults by Poulin et al. Showed that providing tangible assistance to friends or family members in the previous year buffered the effects of stress on mortality over 5 years. In contrast, stress predicted mortality for participants who did not help others. Follow-up data from the Longitudinal National Survey of Midlife Development in the U.S., MIDAS II, of 1054 middle-aged adults found that women who perceived that they supported others in positive social relationships had lower IL-6 levels, which is a marker for inflammation. Elevated IL-6 levels are linked to an increased risk for serious diseases. Hardiness, thriving in the face of adversity. Some individuals do not experience illness or psychological distress when exposed to adverse life events and hassles. Although they may experience brief distress, they generally recover, Lehrer, 2021. Researchers use the concept of hardiness to explain these outliers. The hardiness concept emerged from a 12-year study of manager stress responses at the Illinois Bell Company. Halfway through the study, their parent company's reorganization eliminated half their employees within a year. Two-thirds of the managers experienced severe stress reactions, e.g., heart attacks, depression, and suicide, and one-third thrived. The investigators concluded that the Hardy managers were protected by attitudes of commitment, strong involvement, control, internal locus of control, and challenge, learning from experience and accepting change. Hardiness involves biological and social factors. Longitudinal studies suggest that infants' autonomic and emotional reactivity predicts later emotional reactivity. Less reactive infants may become more resilient. In addition, cohesiveness and social support, actual and perceived, may buffer hardy individuals against stressors. Dr. Ina Kazan's mindfulness perspective. Brooks showed that attempts to calm oneself before stressful performances failed to reduce physiological arousal and were unnecessary. In several studies, arousal was associated with better math, public speaking, and singing performance. We do not need to calm ourselves, we need to reframe our arousal as excitement instead of anxiety. Mindfulness involves paying attention in a particular way, on purpose, in the present moment, and non-judgmentally. Mindfulness teaches clients to focus on their immediate feelings, cognitions, and sensations in an accepting and non-judgmental way. Clients learn to distinguish between what they can and cannot change and to change the things they can. The key to escaping quicksand is not to struggle. Dr. Kazan proposes that we reframe threats as challenges. This avoids the futile effort to control the uncontrollable. Reframing improves performance and produces a healthier cardiovascular response to stressors, increasing cardiac performance while reducing peripheral resistance. The Yerkes-Dodson curve graphs the relationship between stressors and performance. Reframing can reduce perceived pressure and energize performance. The left side of the inverted U curve depicts an underload where an individual is insufficiently challenged and bored. This phenomenon of low motivation and performance has been termed rest out and reminds us that we require stressors for motivation and creativity. The middle region that ends with peak performance corresponds to eustress. An optimal level of challenge promotes focus, motivation, and creativity. The right side of the curve represents the worsening effects of excessive pressure, overload, and burnout with anxiety, panic, and anger. Reinterpreting physiological activation as adaptive increases the dehydroepiandrosterone, DHEA, to cortisol ratio. This is beneficial for several reasons. DHEA and cortisol are steroid hormones produced by the adrenal glands but have different bodily functions. Balancing effects, DHEA and cortisol have opposing effects on the body. While cortisol is a catabolic hormone that breaks down tissues, increases inflammation, and suppresses the immune system, DHEA is anabolic, promoting tissue growth, repair, and a healthy immune response. A higher DHEA to cortisol ratio signifies that the body is more balanced, with adequate resources for growth and repair. Stress response: cortisol is a stress hormone that increases in response to physical, emotional, or psychological stressors. Chronic stress can lead to persistently elevated cortisol levels, negatively impacting health by promoting inflammation, impairing immune function, and increasing the risk of chronic diseases. A higher DHEA to cortisol ratio suggests that the body can better cope with stress and maintain a healthier stress response. Aging and cognitive function: DHEA levels decline with age, and lower levels have been associated with cognitive decline, mood disorders, and other age-related health issues. A higher DHEA to cortisol ratio may indicate better overall cognitive function and reduced risk of age-related diseases. Cardiovascular health: a higher DHEA to cortisol ratio has been linked to better cardiovascular health. Elevated cortisol levels can contribute to high blood pressure, arterial stiffness, and other risk factors for heart disease, while DHEA has been shown to have cardioprotective effects. Conclusion: we do not need to purposefully change our physiological response to stress. We do not need to calm down in order to do our best. All we need to do is interpret the sensations of activation in a more helpful way.